some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me on the show is 866-444-3478, which is DIRT, D-I-R-T, 866-444-3478. We've been talking about Epsom salts in the first hour, and my use of the term of endearment for our friends who aren't as enlightened as some and enlightened as some about this organic approach. And the specific conversation was about the research, whether it's there or not, for these organic techniques. And one more quick thing I wanted to say about Epsom salts and magnesium in general comes from a friend of mine who's not organic at all. His name's Dr. Carl Whitcomb. He's up in Stillwater, Oklahoma. A lot of you know him. He's a fantastic researcher. And he has done all kinds of things as far as coming up with new varieties of crepe myrtles and recommending new varieties and cultivars of trees and done all kinds of things. And he's not into organics at all. He didn't learn that in college, and it's not in his paradigm, I can assure you. But some of the things that we do recommend, he's into big time. He told me a long time ago we were visiting about something, and he's written this in his books as well. Somebody commented on Facebook when, you know, there was a little bit of argument going back and forth about whether there's research out there on these things we recommend or not. And Epsom salts was specifically being talked about. Well, Dr. Carl Whitcomb has made a very definite statement that the single most deficient element that he runs into, and I've had other people tell me this as well, is magnesium. And somebody commented on my Facebook that magnesium is rarely deficient, and that's not true. It's greatly deficient a lot of the time. And that's one of the reasons why Epsom salts works so well. We've recommended it in the past, and we'll continue to recommend it at rates of as low as one tablespoon of Epsom salts per gallon of water, and doing a drench into the soil with it as part of your fertility program, and spraying the foliage with it. Now, if you do a soil test and you find out that you have available magnesium and available sulfur in your soil, you don't need it. It won't do any good. It'd be a waste of money. But to say that it's just a silly thing to do and there's no research about it at all and it might be dangerous and might cause some problems is not correct, let's say. And Carl Whitcomb's books I would highly recommend, by the way. Even though he's not organic, he's really good at some of the specific things that we talk about. And one of them is that he probably had more influence on my tree planting recommendations than anybody in the world. He did the research on planting trees certain ways, thinning them out or not thinning them out, digging the big wide ugly hole versus the little round slick hole, staking them, various techniques there. All of the things that I recommend have some little trail back to some of the research that Dr. Whitcomb has done. Let's see. In his books, you can just do a quick search and check out his books. He's got several of them that I'd recommend you having in your library if you don't already. Dr. Carl Whitcomb, W-H-I-T-C-O-M-B. And I think the name of his company, and you might find the books easier that way, is Lace Bark. He was a big Lace Bark Elm guy, and his publishing company is, I think, Lace Bark Publishing, something like that. Dale in Waco's next up. Hey, Dale.
Good morning, sir.
What's going on?
Well, I took a vacation. I went home for 2 weeks, left the garden behind, had to, no choice. Was prepared for the results. The okra, I've got about, I'd say 75 plants or so.
Wow.
You can imagine what's happened out there.
You got giant hard okra pods.
I got thousands of them.
Yeah.
My question is this: I want to let some of them go ahead and go to seed. I want to save them for next year.
Yeah, good idea.
Do I need to radically go ahead and put? Is this going? I guess my question is: are they going to stop production if I leave them? Should I take a row and let those go? Or I want to keep getting okra.
Well, the answer to your question is yes, they will stop production. What I'd recommend that you do for a collection of the seed, Dale, is find the healthiest, strongest looking plants, maybe two or three plants, and that have the biggest, healthiest looking pods on them, not pods that have curled because they were attacked by stink bugs or aphids or something, but nice, straight, healthy pods. That will indicate that plant was, you know, the healthiest plant.
Makes sense.
And
makes
you leave the pods on that plant, or two or three of them. You don't need to leave a whole bunch of them. Just
no.
The very best ones in your garden, and then cut the pods off of all the others and get back into production on all the other plants. And leave the pods on there until they go completely dry before you harvest them for saving the seed.
Okay, but they will shut down if I.
Oh yeah, they won't produce anymore on where you're leaving the pods on the plants.
That pretty much sums it up. That's all I need today.
Okie doke. Good luck.
Thanks.
Talk to you later. 866-444-3478. Here's Ron in Cleburne, Texas. Hey, Ron.
How you doing, Howard?
Doing well.
Okay, I got two quick questions with two different type of trees. I've got some young bur oaks, and the leaves have turned real light brown, and the veins in the leaves have stayed green, and it seems to be taking the whole tree over.
Well, if you'll look at the backside of those bur oak leaves.
I got one in front of me now.
You're probably going to see little black dots, and you're going to see some little lacy-looking insects there.
I seen the black dots.
Okay, the lacy insects may have moved on off because they may have gotten all of the goody out of the leaf they could, but that is lace bug damage. You need to spray. It's a sign of stress to a degree, but it's kind of standard equipment on a bur oak. Almost all bur oaks get some level of lace bug damage. I'd spray with a good quality neem product or with a spinosad. A spinosad product, and you can mix those products with Garrett juice, so you do foliar feeding while you're killing those bugs. It's one of those things where you also want to scratch your head and make sure the flare is exposed properly and everything's going on at the soil level that should be, so the tree's in as little stress as possible.
I can get the spinosad and Garrett juice at a nursery or...
Yeah, any of the nurseries, you're in Cleburne. I don't know any specific ones. Look at our website, dirtdoctor.com, and there's a button over there on the left that says Dirt Doctor Destinations, and it lists the nurseries that we know have the most organic, closest thing to my whole recommendation in their stores. But any retail store should have a spinosad product or two, and any nursery can get one of the commercial Garrett juices. And if that doesn't work, just look at my website and make it yourself. We give the formula out on the website.
I see that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that will not take the tree down, though, will it?
If it continues to hit hard year after year, it's gonna do some damage to the tree. It rarely will kill a tree in one season, if ever, but it definitely does lower the health of the tree.
Yeah, well, this is the first year I've saw it on them, so, you know, I was just wondering about that.
Next year, a little foliar feeding, you know, and maybe put them in a little hydrogen peroxide or a little bit of bio wash or something in with your spray, now that you know that that's a possibility, as a preventative for the next season,
okay.
May completely keep it from happening again.
Okay. And one of the things, I got a red oak, and the west side of the bark where the trees, where the sunset, it had this grayish fungus growing on it. And I went out there, and I just was able to flake the bark right off that tree, about 2 foot high and about 3 inches wide.
Well, that's probably some sunburn that it got because it was in the shade in the nursery and got put out and got the direct sun on it. Get the also, my website will teach you, will explain the formula that's called tree trunk goop. It's just three ingredients, compost, soft rock phosphate, and diatomaceous earth mixed together with water, and slather it on there. When it rains or irrigation washes it off, do it again. It makes a good fertilizer when it goes into the soil, and it'll help that damage to heal.
That's tree trunk goop, you call it?
Tree trunk goop is what it's called, yep.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering because all the wood underneath it was black.
Well, good luck with that. I got to run.
Okay,
Howard
bye.
Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back right after this. Don't go away. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil. The richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and dirtdoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Cell phone number, got an open line. I'm just going to jump on here real quick at 866-444-3478. I haven't mentioned our newsletter, and I will real quickly. It's free. And it's on various subjects, comes out various times during the week. All you have to do to get it is to let us know you want it. Give us your email address. Fill out the form on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com is the easiest, quickest thing to do. And it will be sent to you. It's one subject at a time, and we have a lot of fun with it. And stir up some interest from time to time, as we are currently doing with the current one that we will continue to talk about a little bit as we go. 866-444-3478. Elaine in Houston is next up. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a member of your club and receive your newsletter.
Okay.
Unfortunately, church generally interferes with your program, so I have a feeling that this is a topic that you've exhausted. But I manage almost 40 acres in Brenham. I have equine and a wildlife exemption, so we're trying to restore health to the property as well as a Houston property.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is mostly herbicides and weed control. Very frustrated, spend a lot of money on, I feel like, products that aren't working, and I can't keep up with it. I was just wondering if you can give me. I try to mechanically remove and mow a lot, but then there's some areas that just require spraying because the root system's so deep that I personally cannot dig that deep.
Right. Well, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, Elaine, we've got something that's just about finished that will help you out as far as being able to listen to the show. I've mentioned it for the first time last week.
Okay.
But we have an app now, a Dirt Doctor app. And it currently is playing the show now. It's streaming the live show.
Awesome.
And then the rest of the week, it's doing just Salem programming. So you'll hear talk show guys and music and, you know, all kinds of things. But at some point, hopefully it'll be in the next couple of days, it's already mostly been done. It will play nothing but past shows all week long.
Okay, great.
And so everybody that, you know, has other obligations, like I understand a lot of people do on Sunday mornings,
right,
will have another way to listen to what we do here. And it's free, and it's, you know, just for giving out the information. The
okay.
second thing is, before we get into helping you solve this problem, tell me what you're trying to do. What's the goal here with this 40 acres?
Well, with the 40 acres, I have round pins for training, equine training,
uh-huh.
and the round pins frequently get growth in there, and a lot of the time it's the nightshades and that are really difficult to dig up, and also blackberry vines, and so those are tough, that something that I'm constantly dealing with.
Okay. Let's deal with that real quickly first, because it might be the easiest one.
Okay.
There are devices that are flamethrowers on the market. Have you looked at using them in that situation?
No.
Well, where you have a bare soil situation, like in your pens there, there would be nothing better than these flamethrowers, and they are designed specifically for weed control. One of them is called Red Dragon or something like that. I have a sample of one of their small ones. It's about the size of a walking cane and runs off of a little propane tank. But there's big commercial versions and all kinds of things. So when you need a bare soil area like you do there,
mm-hmm.
I would think that would be the best way to go. What you do is you go across the weeds with this flamer, and the flame actually doesn't touch the weeds for it to work the best. It's just above the weeds, and it destroys the cells in the plant, and it kills the whole plant. And they're very, very effective, and you don't have to mix and spray anything. Of course, it's fire, and you have to be careful, you know, from that standpoint. I always, you know, want to say that. But that's the way to go. What kind of soil do you have in the pens? Is it just the native soil that's there?
Well, that's the base. I did haul in a mixture of river sand and clay for a stable base, and then sand mixture above it, but the weeds are still coming through.
All right. And this is for riding or training or what exactly?
Yeah, training, riding, both.
Okay. Is there any way, I'm showing my ignorance here, is there any way to have mulch rather than just bare soil? Would that not work for the horses?
I have heard different theories on using the mulch, and it's with barefoot animals, it's a little bit tougher on their feet.
Okay.
But
well, that's an option in areas where the horses aren't, you know, other parts of your property, that, you know, the thick layer of shredded tree trimming. So just kind of keep that in mind. Tell me the products that you've tried that you didn't have any luck with.
Vinegar, you know, I buy the commercial grade, very expensive. And I mix it with molasses, orange oil. I've tried that one, and salt. Those are the main ones that I've tried. Some, what are they claim are organic weed control. In those.
Okay, look at the one called Monterey Weed Control. It's a fatty acid product. And also look at the one called Scythe, like a big hand tool. Let me put you on hold. I'll talk to you off the air a minute more. Okay. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back with you right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Elaine and I talked a little bit more off the air there. She's got a situation where she has to have a clean area for the horse pens and all, and that's certainly understandable. And for anybody with acres, there's certain weeds that pop up from time to time that there are organic techniques to deal with. They all vary a little bit, and some can be dealt with long-term with soil improvement. But one of the things I think some people, and it wasn't in her case, but some people will tend to think that on acreage or a ranch or a farm, that if you have Johnson grass or if you have something that just looks like a weed to you, you got to do something about it. And that's not necessarily the case. I was talking to Walt Davis, a rancher friend of mine, and I'm going to have him on sometime soon, so we'll talk about this in more detail. But one of my consulting clients had asked me what is an organic way to deal with Johnson grass, and I was talking to Walt about it. And on a ranch situation, Walt's first comment is that Johnson grass is one of the highest quality grasses that you can have for your livestock if you keep it in front of them all the time. When it becomes a problem is when the livestock is on other kinds of forbs and grasses and then is put into a Johnson grass paddock when the grass is in stress from heat stress or whatever drought or whatever it is, and that can cause the prussic acid problem and all that. But if they're on it as a kind of a regular part of their diet, it is an extremely high-quality grass. And the other thing is that the best way to get rid of it, and we talk about this quite often, is to graze it out or to mow it on a regular basis. I don't like that at all. But yet the state of Texas and various counties and everything waste millions of dollars a year spraying Roundup to try to control the stuff. And like Walt and I were talking about, you know, it's kind of instant gratification to see it turn brown and some of it die out. It usually doesn't all die out. And, you know, wouldn't it be better just to mow more often and control it that way and not be around the incredibly toxic products like Roundup and 2,4-D and the oust product, the SU herbicides and all those kinds of things that are still being used on those weeds. Doris in Ovilla next up. Hi, Doris.
Hi, Howard. Last night I couldn't resist these two succulent-looking aloe vera plants from Aldi's for $3.99. They're like in 5-inch pots.
Okay.
And my eventual hope is to transplant them in the garden area around the front of the house perimeter. But what should I do with them in the meantime? I don't think it's safe right now to put them out there in that dirt, you know, in this 102-degree weather. Do I need to transplant them into a bigger pot?
And they are aloe vera?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, you're thinking 180 degrees wrong, Doris.
I need to go in the ground, huh?
They need to go in the ground now, and then they're okay. Going to freeze when it gets to be wintertime.
So you really can't put them outside all the time then?
Not really. There are some supposedly hardy aloe vera that can take some freeze, but generally speaking, aloe vera is a tropical plant, needs to be protected. I did the dumbest thing in the world. I had the most fantastic little forest of aloe vera in these great big pots some years ago, and I let them all stay out and get frozen. I just got tired of moving them back and forth, and I didn't even keep any. I'm having to start all over now with my aloe vera collections. But they can take some cold weather, don't get me wrong, but a little bit too much frost. It doesn't kill the plant, but it starts to do a little bit of damage to the tip growth and the flower production and that sort of thing. So it really is best to, if you're going to have a brief cold night and a frost, cover them with floating row cover. But if it's really going to be a hard freeze, get them in a greenhouse or bring them inside. One of the fascinating things about aloe vera is that aloe vera works very well as an inside plant. It can take pretty low light conditions, especially, you know, during the winter, and then move them back out during the summer. But they like hot weather, you know, so getting them outside now would be the best thing to do.
Okay, right. And do I need to transplant them into a bigger pot, I guess? They've got like 8 leaves. The longest ones are like 11 to 12 inches, and then they've got some other ones, you know, varying lengths.
They're very unfussed about the size of the pot. They can grow in tiny little containers and do very well. They can grow in lousy soil and do very well.
Okay, so I can keep them in that for a while then.
Yeah, you don't have to baby them at all. You could put them in the ground also and dig them up out of the ground and stick them in a pot to bring them in the winter. They're very durable, you know, to have some pretty rough handling. Plus the fact, during the summer, you're probably going to see that they're going to put on pups, the little side growths.
Uh-huh.
Well, every one of those can be pulled off and put in a new pot and get a new one started. That's how I got my forest of aloe vera started before.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
well,
good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Mine came from Costa Rica, too, and I really made a mistake letting them all go away. Don't ask me why I did. Richard is in San Antonio. Hi, Richard.
How you doing, Howard?
Doing well. Richard, can you get on a regular phone, or are you trapped there?
I'm on a cordless.
Okay.
The Homeowners Association forbids gutters, so we have an area in the front that's getting a lot of rain, and it's eroding. So I was wondering if you could recommend a ground cover that could withstand that.
They forbid gutters?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I guess aesthetics.
Man, that's interesting. I've never run into that before. A couple of things you can do. If you look at the line that's made in the ground where when it rains, it falls down and, you know, hits and creates a line right there, you can turn that into a splash area with lava gravel or some other kind of gravel or pebbles, and then just put the ground cover and or shrubs and annuals and perennials outside that line. You okay. can also, if you have room to do it, you can make it wide enough to where that's a walkway, too, that can help you function, you know, your maintenance function.
Okay.
The other thing you can do is just put shredded tree trimmings, you know, real thick there, and it'll endure as heavy a wash and rain as anything you can possibly put down.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Let's go, and there's an open line now at 866-444-3478. Richardson, Texas, and it's Terry.
Hi, Garrett.
Hi, Terry.
Howard. I've got a fig tree that has just gotten so big so fast that I can't cover it with bird netting anymore, and squirrels and birds are getting at the figs.
Yep.
Can I pick a fig that is partly ripe and expect it to finish ripening in the kitchen?
They'll finish ripening fairly well if they've gone far enough along, has been my experience with it, Terry. It's better to leave them on the plant because they're going to have a better flavor if you do that. But go ahead.
Yeah, the squirrels think so, too.
Oh, I know it. I've got some in my fish pond right now. Then the squirrels take them and eat a bite or two out of them, and they throw them in the water. So it's an ongoing problem, but to tell you the truth, there's nothing foolproof. Try taking some in, see if they'll ripen for you to be tasty enough to do that. And then you might just try some repellent, some hot pepper and some various strong-smelling kinds of things, garlic and various things, and see if your squirrels are repelled by any of that.
Well, we might give that a try. By the way, referencing when you're talking about the tree goop earlier, early in that fig tree's life, a unspeakable person used a string trimmer and knocked about half the bark off of one side.
Yeah,
and I put tree goop over that, and to keep it from washing away as fast, I wrapped just a kitchen paper towel around the tree.
Okay.
And secured it with real lightly with a very loose fastening that would not pinch the tree if the tree grew.
Mm-hmm.
And that made the goop last a lot longer between replacement, and that thing healed over surprisingly well. That tree is just monstrous now. I thought it was about half gone.
That's great. That's a good idea, good technique. Other people have used burlap kind of in the same way in the past as well. We've actually, and it's still hard to believe that it happened, but we've had it happen on more than one occasion now. Trees completely girdled all the way around have been healed that way.
Gee, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, are different fig trees different sizes? This thing is a 20-foot tree now in just a very few years, and I was hoping for a fig bush.
Well, it's kind of like an early caller in the show. It makes it, the only bad thing about that, besides taking too much room, is it's hard to harvest those figs at the top. The good news is the bigger it is, the better chance you have of getting some of the figs and the squirrels not getting all of them.
Yeah, and of course the fact that the figs come out on the new growth makes it problematical because most of the new figs are up where I can't reach them, and I'm kind of an old guy. So
yeah, trim it a little bit differently. Trim it so it grows more laterally, and you can keep lower limbs that way and get to more of the fruit.
You say that's a particular type of fig?
No, just go ahead and trim to shape it to be more low-growing. Well, that's why we were talking with a caller earlier in the show. It doesn't hurt the tree, fig tree at all, to do some pretty dramatic trimming.
It sure doesn't. A couple of years ago, I cut that sucker off so that all the limbs were no further than 5 feet off the ground.
Yep, it doesn't mind it at all.
Well, it ignored that. It grew those branches back out. I measured one of them that was 5 feet.
Yeah, you have to keep trimming.
And the next spring, it was, I mean, in the same, in the one season, that thing was 12 feet off the ground.
Yeah, you have to keep trimming back. Terry, let me run. Help some more people.
Okay.
I appreciate your call.
Thank you very much.
Mary in Philadelphia somewhere. What's up?
You're in Philadelphia. Is it me?
Yes. We're going to be a little short of time, but we can get started here.
How about azalea bushes that I could cut back? Haven't been able to get anybody to do it for me. They tell me that's supposed to be done right after they bloom, which was 2 months ago. Is it still too late to cut them back?
It's going to probably damage some of the buds doing it this late, Mary. But if you have to do it for space, go ahead and do it. But
no,
they were right if they told you to trim right after they bloom. That's the best time next time. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be back with you right after this, 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydratein. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydratein. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydratein. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydratein is now available to you. Hydratein allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydratein or order directly from Hydratein.com. That's HYDRETAIN.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina
and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. This tea that I told you about first hour has a lot of ingredients, but the two ingredients that jump out the most are the orange peeling and the ginger. Also has blackberry leaves, lemongrass, rose hips and petals, spearmint, turmeric, and hibiscus leaves. But the two things that jump out the most in the tea the orange and the ginger. It's kind of interesting. Back to the phone, Austin in Denton next up. Hello, Austin.
Hey, Hal, how are you doing?
Doing well.
I was responding to the young lady who spoke about the issue she was having with weed control for horses.
All right.
And I have a suggestion. She know how much space she needs. She said she had 40 acres.
Right.
And she know how much space she need for training for the horses. And my suggestion is to mark out the space extra beyond what she estimates and put goats in the empty spaces, four lots, the same space, and let the goats have each lot, at least one lot anyway, or two lots, and then transfer the horses over there when she need to. When the grass start growing in one lot, move them to the next lot, and the goats are enjoying themselves, and the horses will have a spot that's free of weeds, so the goats don't play around.
Well, I like your idea. I like using goats for weed control. It needs to be done more often. I think in her case, though, she had those pens where she needed to keep them completely free of weeds. That might work, though, because goats will eat things down to nothing. That's for
right.
sure.
That's right. They're eating down to nothing. And she can estimate how much lot should leave. That's just a suggestion. Of course, we are dreaming of getting a journey. And that like her, I lived for years, and I was an organic farmer for only 3 years back when they first started the program in Texas. And just a suggestion, that's all.
I think it's a good one.
I'd like to hear back from her if she decided to try it. Because it might be a blessing for other people who have the same issues and be cost effective.
Well, I think for weed control at the city level and the county level and personal level, all three, it's a good idea to use goats much more than we do. Good thinking, Austin.
Have a great day. I enjoy it. Here, listening to you, and I hope everybody else is blessed. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon. It's a technique that's actually being used commercially by, I don't know if it's states or cities or counties in certain parts of the country. They'll take goats out and they'll keep them tethered somehow or another and move them around, and they do a great job on especially things like brambles and kudzu and various fast-growing, really invasive species. We tried to get that technique going at Tierra Verde Golf Club. You know, they do an organic version of the maintenance out there, especially with the fertility program. They had some difficulty getting an okay to do it with the city permit-wise or something. There were some holdup that caused it to not happen, and it would have been perfect there because that golf course has these natural areas between the holes. It's an Audubon, you know, designated thing besides the organic fertility program. And a lot of the wild grapes and the Carolina snail seed, you know, that a lot of us have trouble with, and various kinds of brambles and vines had become a big problem, and the goats would really get it under control in a hurry if they could be used. I haven't talked to them lately. I need to do that and see if they ever got that going. Back to the phones. Shirley in Dallas is next. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. Howard, listen, I have an issue with an ash tree. It is between my neighbor and us, my husband and myself. And it's very tall, very large, and we thought we were going to lose it last year because on one side of it, it was weeping through the bark, and butterflies and all kinds of things were being attracted. So I used a great deal throughout the year of the dried molasses, and this year I put down some Epsom salts, thinking, well, maybe it needs magnesium or something. And it's not weeping as much as it did. It does have leaves all over it, but it's so sparse. But it does have leaves all over it, so I'm thinking it's on the mend. But what do I put on the bark to give it a shot? It does not have a problem with root flare, you know, being buried or anything like that. I don't know what happened to it and why it's doing this.
Well, ash trees just get kind of sickly when they get old. Is it a really big tree?
It's a very big tree. It's okay. Twice the height of our little house.
Yeah. Might be good to have an arborist come out and look on site, Shirley. You may see some things that I wouldn't pick up here. The only thing I can recommend additionally for you to do is the entire sick tree treatment, you know, which would be to aerate your property. And then while the aeration holes are open, put out all the amendments that are in the sick tree treatment, compost, rock powders, dry molasses, cornmeal. One of the beneficial organism products like the BioSI, and spray the trunk and the leaves with the Garrett juice, you know, as you have time. Even though it's a big tree, it'd be good to have somebody that could spray it and get all the way to the foliage at the tips.
Yeah, that's a big job.
Yeah, it is. But it would be the only thing that would help other than what you're doing.
Okay. Listen, thank you.
I appreciate it. Good luck with the tree.
Thank you. Take care.
I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website's dirtdoctor.com. You can get our free newsletter by just filling out the form on the website. To call me the third hour of the show, it's 866-444-3478. Even if you can't hear it, you can call anytime.